Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is it is a great word this morning. Great word this morning. I am coming to you from Bloomington Normal, Illinois. This morning I have had a great weekend at my homecoming from my college, and just want to say shout out to the Redbirds of Element State and to all of the wonderful host committee. They have done a fantastic job. It was great seeing my sorority sisters and just people that I have forgotten I knew from high school, met some women that I didn't realize, I mean, from college, I realized I went to college with until we are here, and like, and we're looking at each other crazy because we realize we know each other and didn't know each other in college. So, you know, it's such a great weekend. But we're going to get in the Word this morning because I have to travel to get home to be in church. So let's get started in this wonderful Word of God this morning. And let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have made, God. It was our word for Friday that we can do nothing more than marvel at your greatness, at your glory, at your wonderfulness, God. But there is none like you, Father, and we can only say thank you. Thank you for giving us another opportunity to be better today than we were yesterday. Father God, I lift up all those that will be traveling the highways, byways, skyways, trainways, going home from this wonderful weekend. And I ask you, Lord God, to give them all traveling grace and mercy. And Father God, as you give those traveling from here grace and mercy, I ask you to also give my pastor grace and mercy as she travels home from her reunion with her friends and those that she needed to be with over this weekend. So, Lord God, as you bless all those traveling, bless church services today. Give pastors rhema words, Lord God, that will save and fill up their congregations, that those that are in need of you, God, will feel your presence. And so, Father God, as we move forward through this day, let us never forget that it is you, God, who gave us another opportunity for it. Lord, I continue to pray for those in the Middle East, Lord God, that there will not be that starting point for a world war, God, as people start to take sides against this group versus that group, Lord. But they are all your children. And we ask you, Father God, to get you a child in the region, God. Do not let powerful men destroy lives of the poor, of the needy, of the widow, and the orphan, God. For you know each and every one, and you know every head on their heads, Father God. So, Father God, as I lift up your children, your people, lift up Israel, God. Give Israel heart to remember that those that are in Palestine are their brothers and their sisters and their cousins and their family as well. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask for peace over this planet, peace in this world, peace that only you can give. And I ask in Jesus' name, thanking you in advance, God, for that all things working for good. Amen. Good morning. We are still in the 118th Psalm on this, on this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Sunday morning. And I'm going back to the 18th Psalm and then going to go into our Proverbs and then we'll get into our lesson for today. And our lesson today is a good one. And the title that God gave me was Continue Earnestly in What? Prayer. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And God is wanting us to pray. But we know that more prayer, more power. Less prayer, less power. No prayer, no power. And we want to have prayer power. Calling on prayer power this morning. Because prayer power changes things. It changes all kinds of things. So, Lord, I pray that more people are praying today than ever before. So if you go back into our psalm from on Friday, it says this, all nations surrounded me, but the name of the Lord, I will destroy them, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. I'll say it again, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Lord, thank you for being our strength, for being our song, for protecting us from all harm and evil. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. For the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Lord, we pray today. Continue watching over your children. I will praise you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Start that day being glad in you, Lord, that you have given us another day. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 8, like a bird wanders from its nest, is a man who wanders from its place. Like a bird wanders from its nest, it's like a man that wanders from his place. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. We all need friends. We all need that person to tell us about ourselves, and that will be honest and kind and loving, because they will always have our back. Then we go into Proverbs 27 and 10. It says, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. We got to love each other. We got to pray for those that despitefully use us. We got to lift up the name of Jesus this morning. Prayer changes all kind of things. And as we wrap up the book of Colossians, excuse me, this morning, it's allergy season. As we wrap it up, we are in Colossians chapter 4, And it says, masters, give your bondservant what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Understand, we are accountable to God. How you treat your fellow man, you are accountable to God. Those that are in bondage and were in bondage under a master, that master was accountable to God. And as I was watching a special not too long ago, a documentary, it talked about the fact that even to this day, there are still folks enslaved in Africa. There are parents who sell their children so that their one child, so that the other children can live. Selling their children so they can survive because of famine, because of war, because of not having enough. We've got to pray because everybody will be held accountable to God. And as we continue to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant, and it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. Paul is speaking and saying we need to pray. And he said, for which I am also in chains, that I may make a manifest as I ought to speak, walking with them toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We got to be a little salty. We got to have some salt. God does not want us to be bland. He wants us to have a little salt. And it goes on to say, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your heart with a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Archippus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer. There it is, continual prayer. Paul is saying, we have an intercessor here who's praying for you. And he says, for I bear him witness that he has a great deal for you and those who are in Lodosia, and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brothers who are in Lodosia and Nepheus, and in the church that is in his house. Now, when the epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Lodosians, and that you likewise read the epistle from Lodosia, and say to the Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains, grace be with you, amen. Paul was in jail, writing to the Colossians, writing to Lodosia, and he was asking the Lodosians, he was asking the Colossians, you know, pray. He needed prayer seat was telling them, I have someone that's interceding for you, but I ask you to pray. And then when we go into some life examples from this word, it tells us John Mark learning is well. And it says John Mark had gotten off to a great start. He accompanied Barnabas and Paul on an exciting missionary journey and saw God do amazing things. For whatever reason, however, he left them in the middle of their work. And Paul refused to team up with this young man again. And we saw that in the book of Acts, chapter 13. In chapter 15, it says, Paul's dated opinion of Mark eventually changed, however. In Colossians 4:10 and 2 Timothy 4:11, Mark went on to minister once more with Barnabas, his cousin, and eventually wrote the Gospel of Mark. He accepted the challenge of ministry, difficulties and all, and ended up a winner. Many believers fail to end well because they mistakenly think that God's call to personal ministry depends on their skill level. None of us are adequate in ourselves any more than any of us can save ourselves. Throughout our lives, we must glorify God, and that means depending on him from beginning to end. And I'm speaking, I understand what Mark was saying, because when I was ordained to be a pastor, a youth pastor, but I didn't accept it. I said, I'll just be a minister right now, because I didn't feel I had the credentials to be a pastor until I finished my bachelor's in theology. I did not want, I was afraid, you know, to get up there and say, well, you know, I'm a pastor, when I didn't feel I had the credentials for it. And so I understand how Mark was feeling. You know, I had a bachelor's degree, so I have two bachelor's degrees. And, you know, one in theology, one in communications, which is what I do now. But the thing is, I did not trust God. God had given me the skill set. But I was like, well, I think I need to have this piece of paper. And, you know, I'm sure that God would have opened doors and made room. But I walked in fear. Because I didn't want anybody saying, well, she's not really legit. She don't have the paper. And that was the wrong way to feel. And then I accepted the pastor calling. And I should have accepted it when I was ordained as it, to be a pastor, preacher, teacher. You know, to preach and teach the word and be a pastor for children, which I was already doing. And God had already equipped me to do, but I was walking and not in faith. And I had to repent and ask God to forgive me for not trusting him, but instead wanting to trust in a piece of paper. And then it goes on to say in Colossians 4:14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Why is this one as Demas? It's Paul's faithful companion. Sometime later, he would turn his back on his apostolic friend because he loved the present world, 2 Timothy 4:10. Finishing well does not happen by accident. You've got to work hard. Ministry is not easy. What your pastors go through is not easy. That's why you lift them up. That's why you pray for them. Pray for your senior pastors. Pray for them. Pray for your first ladies. Pray for your first gentlemen. Pray for them assistant and co-pastors. Pray for those that labor among you, because it is important. They need you. They need your prayers to stay strong in ministry. It is not easy. Don't get it twisted. Many pastors do not get paid. They give back to the church. My own pastor did not take a salary for 11 of our 13 years. No money every month for 11 or 13 years. Why? She was putting it all back into the church. Because if a bill needed paying, she paid that bill. She didn't worry about whether she got any money or not, because she had a job. And that's what I tell you, many pastors have jobs. They write books. They go and lecture. They do other things to get money. And it is not, I would say, 80% of them do not get their money from the church body because they know that churches have to have light, have to have water, have to have gas, may have to get a new air conditioning. All these things cost money, and it is supposed to be paid by your tithes and offerings. And we need to remember that we are the church, and as the church, we take care of it. In Colossians 4:17, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. We got to be faithful to fulfill what God has called us to do. He has, as the psalmist says, he has created a great work in you. Each of us has some special work or ministry to which the Lord has assigned us. To what has God called you? Do you know the particular mission he has carved out for you? How are you working to fulfill it? Are you faithful to fulfill what God has called you to do? Are you sitting back there, well, I don't feel equipped? We got to be equipped. Don't be like me, walk in fear, walk in faith. Because I tell you, God is already equipping you. And as we go to 1 Thessalonians, new book, okay, what we are going to learn in this book is this. The Apostle Paul, along with Silvanus, Silas, and Timothy, those are the authors of this book. The date is early 50 A.D., perhaps Paul's earliest letter. In 10 words or less, Jesus will return to gather his followers to him. Can I say it again? Jesus will return to gather his followers to him. I want to be gathered up with Jesus. I'm just saying it now. I want my name in that book. I want my name on that flight list. I want to be in the number with Jesus. And I'm just calling it and saying it, Lord, let me be in the number to be called with Jesus as he gathers up his followers. And it says in detail in this letter to another church he helped found, Acts 17, Paul teaches on the second coming of Christ, apparently an issue of some concern to the Thessalonians. Paul describes how Jesus will return, but doesn't say exactly when, because the word of God tells us no man knows the day or the hour of the return. So anybody telling you he's coming on October the 31st, 2024, don't listen. Oh, no, he'll be here on December 25th, coming down your chimney in a little red suit. Don't listen, because it's not true. Jesus is coming when Jesus comes, and no one will know when or where, because he already said in his word he will come like a thief in the night, and we better be ready because we don't know when he returns. As a song used to say, I pray we'll all be ready. I pray we'll all be ready. I pray we'll all be ready for his return. We got to be ready, because one will be left behind. And it says also in this letter, because Paul describes how Jesus will return, but doesn't say exactly when. The important thing in his word is that ye would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. God wants us to walk worthy of him. And it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that is the 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And the dead in Christ shall rise. Those that are gone, the deceased will rise first. That's who's going. We got to understand that, you know, folks, I was talking about the zombie apocalypse. Okay. the dead in Christ are going to rise. Folks are going to be freaking out. And it goes on to say, 1 Thessalonians contains two of the Bible's shortest verses. Rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. Bam. That's the word. Pray without ceasing. And that's what God is calling us to do. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And we're going to learn about that as we go through Thessalonians. It says 1 Thessalonians contains, think of this, rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. And, you know, I'm one that says, well, you know, the shortest is to work. But then when you go to rejoice evermore, 5 and 16 of Thessalonians, that's another two words. And then when you go to 5 and 17, and pray without ceasing. But we have always put them together. Rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. Not understanding. Those are two different verses. Rejoice evermore. Jesus was two of the shortest verses in the Word of God. And as we go into Thessalonians, it says we were told to live right in view of Jesus' coming return with the passage of 2,000 years. Don't you think it's more important for us today? Absolutely. It's more important for us today to be ready for his return. And as we go into 1 Thessalonians, it says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power. As we say, we got the power. Hallelujah. In power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believed. But from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. But they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Who will deliver us from the wrath to come? It is Jesus. Jesus will deliver us. And we've got to lift up stuff and tell God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for everything. God wants us working. It's time to go to work. It's time to pray. It's time to lift up others besides yourself. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. As Dr. Stanley tells us in this life lesson, the world does not see how joy and affliction can possibly go together. But throughout the Bible, we see the two of them paired up. A life of faith may entail suffering, but it also comes with joy. Hallelujah. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. And as we go into 1 Thessalonians 1 and 7, it says, you became examples of all the masses to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believed. The believers in Thessalonica were very young in the faith, and yet Paul claimed that they had already greatly inspired other believers who heard of their experience. The Holy Spirit, not age, is what makes someone a good example. I have seen children who are so filled with the Spirit of God that all you can do is sit back and say, wow, wow, this child loves God. You know, my grandson just totally shocked me. He just joined the children's choir, and I'm teaching them Fire by Cece Winans. And this baby went to sleep on Thursday night singing the song and woke up on Friday morning singing the song. Just the choruses, all the little bitty kids are singing. But the fact that he has his chorus down, he called me yesterday to sing with him. But because of how sometimes there's a slight delay, I was sending him off and he told me, he said, we got to practice, Grandma, because we don't want to be looking shabby. And first and foremost, I'm like, how does he know the word shabby? You know, but we don't want to be looking shabby. I said, okay, we're going to practice. But I just thought it was hilarious. Him saying, we don't want to look shabby. And I thought, this kid. And then he had to sing it again. And I just couldn't do nothing but smile. He was tearing it up. Because he understands, and I believe in what I pray is for a child. I get that all filled up. But I pray for that song to minister to them, that they are not just singing it, but that the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, that it will come into each and every one of these children that are singing fire, fire, fall on us. I want it to fall on us. Fall on them, fall on the church, just like it did in Pentecost. Those children, I believe, are going to lead somebody to Christ. And so when we say fire, fire, fall on us, start a new revival, fall on us, we got to have it just like the day of Pentecost. We want to be in unity. We want to be in one accord. And that's what Paul is wanting for Thessalonians. He has wanted the Thessalonians to be in one accord, to be in unity. He is wanting them to understand prayer changes things. Just like the Corinthians, it will do it for the Thessalonians. And it says in chapter 2, for you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and was spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men. They didn't say, we're not going to be man-pleasers. Because there are folks that want pastors to preach what they want to hear, not what the Word of God says. You know, when somebody gets up in your pulpit and you don't see a Bible, you don't hear a scripture, and all you hear is somebody talking to you and giving you the why you got to give more money, why you got to do this, that, and the other. But most of what they're saying is something that benefits them, and not the body of Christ, then pack up your little Bible and walk out. Because that is not a man of God. That is not a woman of God. That is somebody that is using ministry to grip. And I'm saying it because the Lord has already told us that in the end times will come many false prophets and teachers. I listened to, again, I think I mentioned this on Friday, to one of the gentlemen that I follow on YouTube who pulled up a proper liar, and I'm calling it like it is. This woman is giving this quote-unquote prophecy and telling someone that their mother's going to get well, and that, you know, she is made whole and she is this and that. And as you listen, she says, you know, it sounded like something from the psychic network that you hear on these talk shows where they bring on a psychic and the psychic is talking to the audience and they'll say, now, I feel that there's someone that's in your life and I see a T. Is there somebody you know who's close to you whose name starts with a T? You know, think about it. Pretty much statistically, there may be somebody in your family whose name starts with a T, whether it's a Tina or a Tracy. You know, there's somebody that may start with a T. You know, and so it's like, oh, my grandmother. Oh, God has told me that your grandmother is going to get, you're not mother. Your mother is going to be well. She's going to be made whole. She's going to be, know what I say, going to be. Going to be made well, going to be made whole. That's your mother is just going to be, you know, who she always was and da-da-da. And then she says, and is your mother sick? And then you hear this pause. And she says, no, my mother died in 2009. And I don't know why God has given me your mother and that she's going to be made well. Oh, well, she is made well, you know, because she's made well in the spirit. And I'm like, really? Just proper lying all over. You know, and just going on and on. And God will reveal to you a proper life. Don't let folks get up talking about prophecy, and especially when they asking you for money. For $11.45, I have a prophecy for you. Oh, and a prayer or a prayer cloth. All you need to do is make sure you send $11.45. You can send $111.45 or $1,000 and $11.45. $1,011.45, but it's got to be the $11.45. You know, we got to be careful. In the last days, there will be many false prophets, and many are false prophets that we have to watch and pray. Paul is telling the people of Thessalonians not to be deceived, and he tells them, for our expectation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it deceit. He said, no, we're not deceitful. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so, we speak not as pleasing men. They are not men pleasers, but God who tests our hearts. But neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men either, from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we may not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. In other words, we didn't ask you for anything. Was our labor in vain? We labored among you. In other words, we know Paul was a tent maker. And wherever he went, he started making tents. He'd find a tent maker and hire himself out to help make tents. That's how he met Aquila and Priscilla. And he started ministering to them, and they ministered to him. They gave him instruction. They became his mentor. You know, but you got the folks that say women can't preach. Well, Priscilla did. And I can tell you, Priscilla's still preaching. Priscilla sure is great. And I can't do more than say, wow, look at God. Dr. Evans named his daughter the right name. And as we go on, it says, so affectionately. You know, you tell them we love you, God. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. God loves it. And he has given you pastors and preachers and teachers who love you. And they do what they do for you. And it says you are witnesses, and God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave ourselves among you who believe, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you will walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, again, prayer, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you and who believe. But you, brother, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. But you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sin. But wrath has come upon them to the utmost. But as we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. But what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Apostles create churches. I'm sorry, you got folks that create titles for themselves. And you say, what church have you created? You've got an apostle create churches. That's what they do. They build churches. Whether they come to help an already existing church grow and prosper, they are builders. And as we go back to some life lessons from 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, verse 2, it says, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. And Dr. Stanley breaks it down for us, and he says the best place to find boldness, really, the only reliable place is in God. Boldness inspired by the Spirit cannot be quenched by suffering or conflict. I come to you in boldness because I just want, and I believe God has called me to put his word into the atmosphere. Because the word of God, one day, we may not be able to legally read it, to legally teach it, but it's in the atmosphere. They can't take it away. It's out there, and we will always be able to find it and hear it. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:11, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, to his young Christian friends, Paul could not only act with the tenderness of a loving brother, but he could not also act from the stronger and sterner attitude of a loving father. God acts in both ways toward us. God acts with tenderness. God acts with stronger and sterner attitudes toward us. God will chastise his children. You will wonder why you feel like you are getting your behind toe up from the floor. It's because you forgot who is boss. You forgot that your daddy don't play. I said I gave my testimony numerous times. As a 10-year-old, thinking I was grown. Be told to be home. Again, like I grew up in the South, you got to be home before the street lights come on. And I was told to be home before the street lights came on. I was told to be home way before the street lights come on. But instead, I could ride down the street in a limousine with the bride and the groom and the family, and we waving, and my dad sitting on the front porch. Now, I understand, it's starting to get not dark, you know, but you can tell that the sun is kind of trying to go down. And the street lights are going to be coming on probably within the next half an hour, you know, somewhere in there. And I'm waving at my dad, drove all around, because down there, you know, folks would get in the cars and they'd honk the horns, and, you know, you see the bride and the groom, and everybody all excited. Waved at my dad. Okay. Got back to the church, had the cake and the punch, and, you know, then, oh, I got to go home. I start walking home, and I can start seeing as I'm going, it's starting to get not dark, but just, and, you know, I'm like, okay, let me kind of move it a little bit. And so the way I could go home, I was like, a half a block, one block on that corner lived what would become my aunt-in-law. So as I walked down the street, because I made sure I stayed on the street that was safest because of the people that were there. In the next block were two of the pianists from my church and one of the leaders in my church. And so in the next block was one of my teachers and mentors. And so then I got to the next block where I was going to go through a yard to get to another parking lot by the funeral home, which was across the street from my house. So I had mapped out how I was going to get home, even if it was starting to get a little dusty, because I know that on one of the corners, if I had gone down a different street, it was kind of rowdy and, you know, kind of dangerous. So I tried to stay on the street that was safest. And so I go through these houses because one is the church parsonage and the other is a friend of my parents also. So I go through their yard and go out, and then I hit the parking lot, which once I go to the two yards, the yards that butt up against each other, my dad could see me. So because he's sitting on the porch, he's waiting for me. Then again, by the time I got through the parking lot and across the street, the lights was coming on the street. But I thought, well, I made it, but I didn't really. I got to thinking, so this will be me. My dad did not spank me. So that stuck out in my mind more than any other spanking I ever got, was because my dad spanked me for my disobedience and not coming straight home after the wedding. And I mean, think about this. I'm right by my house. They would have let me out of the car right there. All I would have to say was, can y'all let me out here? You know, so I can, and they would just stop the car, waved at my dad, let me out. But I'm trying to be cute. I got my cute little dress, waving. Yeah, okay. Cute little dress out the wall. And I remember that. You know, we're talking 54 years ago. But that spanking meant more to me than any other spanking, any other discipline I've got, because my dad did not spank me. The one that didn't, he was maybe fast at me or tell me something, but he did not spank me until I was disobedient. And as I finish up this word this morning, it says we want in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. The opposition of Satan is real and can cause definite problems. Yet Paul knew that the might of Satan is no match for the great power of God. God can turn even Satan's victories into blessings for his people. And that is our word for this morning. And I pray that this word touched your heart as it has touched mine. God is speaking to us today. He wants us to understand that prayer changes things. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Trust God. Know that you are covered. Pray for others. And know that it is all going to work out. Because understand, there is going to be stumbling blocks. The devil is going to always be busy. And the angels that fail with him are going to be busy. But understand, Satan is not God. He cannot be everywhere. He can only be at a time. And he uses his network of fallen angels that many want to call Satan. They're just fallen. We got to trust God and know that he's got you covered. If there is anyone that has a word this morning, you have a little time. Those that may be listening on social media, the number to call is 213-943-3597. And I do have a few words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, from Carolyn's Gift, because she was not able to get on before we were finished on Friday. So I have Carolyn's Gift words for you that I hope will touch your heart for this from this weekend. And our word for Friday was, God will give you strength. Come on now. Paul just spoke about it. For every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. And then she told us to have a fantastic Friday, and I did. And it says on yesterday, be grateful for today and never take anything for granted. Life is a blessing. Have a serene Saturday. And I can say, I did it. And today it says a word for us, a proverb. Look at God. One of our proverbs from this morning. It was actually from Thursday. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And I'm sorry, God, I was looking wrong. We read this quite a while ago. But it is a word that you need to put in your biblical arsenal of scripture. When you're going through, just remind yourself, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Call on the name of Jesus when you're going through. Just let Daddy God know, Father God, I need you, Abba Father. And then you got to pray the prayer, Abba Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not my name, not my pastor's name, who I respect and love. But the name of Jesus, we got to call on God. You know, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. We got to call on the name of Jehovah and know that it is a strong tower. And that we can run in because we are righteous. Trusting God, loving God, and knowing that he has us covered. From the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. Why? Because we belong to him. And this morning, I do have a prayer from our 365 days of prayer. You know, folks is getting all freaked out about Friday the 13th. You know what? It was just another day. That's all, just another day. Don't get caught up in the hype. Trust in God. Again, the righteous run in and are saved. And as we go into our prayer for this morning, bold confidence. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualifications come from God. 2 Corinthians 3:5, NLT. What is it? What? We get all caught up in what the world says when we need to get caught up in what thus says the Lord. We are qualified because God says we are. And it says, God, my strength. Oh, Lord, thank you. What if they continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving? God, my strength. There is nothing I face without your love covering me. Let me not forget that fact. I don't ever need to rely on my own strength when your grace is always available as a resource. I don't know why I try to do so much on my own. I have nothing to prove. Oh, my God. I said, Lord, that word is all for me. Because we do this. We want to get, you know, I can do this. I can do that. I can't. Sometimes you need to step back and let others do the work. Because you will find out, and you said maybe 2 or 3 may come in and do what you were doing and working yourself into the grave trying to do. We got to give others opportunity to watch them work. You set the tone in this. Jesus, your radical call to a life of love dependent on the Father is the example I look to. There is nothing that you did without the Father, and I have that same access. You have given me everything I need in the Spirit. I have every tool to live a life of surrender while reflecting the values of your kingdom. I am forever indebted to you and gladly so. I have done nothing to deserve the kind of grace you continually give. Yet, here I am living in it. Thank you. And the question is, are you confident that God's grace covers all your weaknesses? I am. And I am thankful. I am grateful. And I am blessed to be a child of God. And I thank all of you who joined me this morning. As I get ready to travel home for church, I just want to say to all of you, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Please keep Mother Valerie in your prayers as she gets ready to travel to take care of and spend time with her older sister. Please keep her in your prayers. She will be traveling starting tomorrow. So, Mother Valerie, we love you. And we are praying for you. And Mother Rita, we thank you for being with us this morning. May God bless you. May God watch over you. May God continue. And as I go to get ready, family, don't forget that prayer changes all kinds of things. Pray and pray some more and watch God work in your life. And the lives of others. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Find the Bible believing, Bible teaching church. And watch God work in that ministry and in your life. It is, as we say on moving forward, it's a wrap, family. It's time to go. I got to get on with my head. Love you much. Have a great day. And again, keep me in your prayers too. Be blessed. It's a wrap.